Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is News Radio 92.3. I'm Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay, and he is not in this week. No, Andrew did not win the lottery, but his chickens did finally hatch eggs, and he is selling them by the curb on the roadside. With inflation like it is, he is rolling in the big bucks now with his chickens hatching eggs. So he will be back, though, Monday. And wait for the next hatch, I guess. So anyways, we do have on the line Councilwoman Jennifer Brayer from District 1 representing the Scenic Heights in the north end of the city. Jennifer, thanks for calling in this morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Will you tell Andrew I need some of those eggs,
I will let him know if I can, you know, in between selling eggs and counting how much money he's got now. I don't know if I'll be able to get a hold of him, but I'll try. I wanted to have you on. I was at the agenda review yesterday for city council and the CRA meeting, and wanted to, you know, give you an opportunity to come on and talk a little bit about what folks maybe can expect with the city council meeting coming up this week. And then we can just kind of talk about some things going on in the community as well. I know this affects your district specifically, but I did see there's a big stormwater project that's going to be going on in the Scenic Heights area, and want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about that.
On Langley.
Yes.
So you've got all this water coming down off this north end, so just kind of interesting, but my district has the highest point. So we get up to 126 feet above sea level in District 1, which is the highest for the city limits. And so we've got all this water running downhill, right? So even if you think about it, the street Hilltop is right here at the high point. So that's really why that was named. And so this will help handle the drainage issues in this region and then also clean this water before it hits the bay. So it's an extremely important project for the people that live here and their neighborhood, and also for the future and the ecosystem of the waterways.
That's great. It's a big project, $5.2 million. And is it getting underway soon, or are we still in the works of trying to make sure it's fully funded, or is it?
So I think the grant acceptance is this week is what you'll see us do, and then it moves forward. And when you're thinking about stormwater issues, you can't fix anything at the top if you're not fixing it at the bottom, right?
Right.
So this ensures that the bottom flow will work so that we can then handle the top flow, kind of thing.
Right. I know stormwater is not the most exciting thing in the world, but when it rains a lot and people get flooded out, it certainly is a big topic conversation.
So, listen, I can tell you a few streets and a few areas within my district that stormwater is the biggest thing on their mind.
I can only
because
imagine.
They dealt with such serious issues. So
yes.
So it is extremely important if you're the one affected.
All right. And then again, on the city council agenda for this Thursday, I know we've got something for the DIB. You know, we've requested exemption from paying into the downtown CRA TIF. You sat on the DIB board of directors as one of my bosses for 2 years. And so I guess if you want to talk a little bit about what that means for folks that are listening, and happy to chime in as well. So
it was really a sleight of hand that we were doing. And so if I'm a proponent for us following through with this, and I believe that I kind of initiated us getting mm-hmm. to this point. But what we've been doing through the last years is a little bit of a game in that the CRA or the DIB has to pay the CRA, and then the CRA turns around and gives the money right back to the DIB. So it just puts a lag on this money to do what it's intended to do, and kind of an unfair, just meaningless. I can remember actually, Walker, you coming down, and it was essentially you give a check in one hand and they hand you back to the other hand, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah, exactly.
So it's always been It is exactly that. So it's really been a little bit of a game how we've had to play it this way. And so this is just setting the record straight and allowing it not to have that ridiculous bureaucracy and red tape that really was meaningless.
Yeah. And again,
I'm excited for it.
CRAs are funded through new valuations and property going up. And so we would give a check to the CRA. They would turn around and give us a check back for the exact same amount. So it's not, the CRA is not losing any income or revenue. It's been kind of this way for pretty essentially about 15 or almost 20 years that this has been going on. And so this will actually kind of release, you know, remove one layer of red tape that the DIB has had. You know, I'd come present on what we spent that money on to the CRA and then again to the city council, which is still the same seven people, and to get approval. So it's just going to kind of remove some of that and I think be a benefit for the downtown DIB taxpayers at the end of the day.
I agree. And for taxpayers, I think it's important to understand there's still oversight.
Right.
Just not useless oversight. Oversight
Correct.
That's not really doing anything. It's just checking a box, that Sure. kind of thing. But there's still oversight for the DIB to do what it is intended to do.
Exactly. So, Jennifer, we're going to get traffic on the fives and a couple commercials, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about, you know, maybe fluoride in the water and UWF board appointees.
Sounds good. Thanks, Walker.
All right. Taking a look at your traffic on the fives, I'm seeing no accidents right now. But I am seeing some backups on Navy Boulevard is backed up all the way to Gulf Beach Highway going into the front gate of NAS due to security issues. They're just doing exercises this week and next week. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Guys, ever had a bad experience in the bedroom that totally threw you off? It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. And let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Five, or you're retiring, or you just need to make some changes to your Medicare coverage. Look, I know that it's a little bit apprehensive. It's a little bit weird. People have probably been calling you or sending you letters, maybe emails, trying to persuade you that this is some big thing. It's really not. Just call somebody you can trust. Ricky Stewart, a longtime friend of mine. I've known her as long as we've lived here. Her whole family does insurance. This is the one part that she does is she helps people get transitioned over onto Medicare and answer your questions about supplement and Advantage and, you know, what is Medicaid? Does it apply to me? Great questions. Ask her. She knows how to handle prescription drugs, all of that stuff. She's great at it. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, we'll talk about the three big things happening in Pensacola, including Pensacola Mardi Gras, SBC Basketball, and this weekend's Pensacon.
Friday at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wouldn't it be nice?
morning, Pensacola. This is News Radio 92.3. Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay. Andrew won a mail-in contest for being in the first episode of the new season of Cobra Kai. He is going to be starring next to Ralph Macchio, so he is not here. So you can just keep your eyes peeled for that and see Andrew's coolest karate moves in the first episode. So he'll be back Monday, though. You can ask him about it then. But we do have on the line Councilwoman Jennifer Breyer, City Council District 1. And we were talking a little bit about stormwater in the first half of this hour and some items that are going to be on the City Council agenda this Thursday. And Jennifer, I know there's a lot going on in the community right now, and I'm sure you hear from your constituents about things that maybe the City Council doesn't have really any effect over directly, but you know, you still get all of those either complaints or praises for whatever it might be. And I know one thing that's been popping up is about fluoride in the water for ECUA and how that's kind of bubbled up as a topic of conversation. Didn't know what you're hearing, your thoughts, or you know, if you wanted to touch on that topic.
Sure, sure. I mean, kind of interestingly, when the debate was taking place to put fluoride in the water, I have to tell you, I was a strong advocate not to do it. So it's really, there's a lot of arguments going on out there about, you know, the science behind fluoride, and I don't even think that that is needs to be addressed. You know, do you believe penicillin cures strep throat? I think that there's some science that definitely supports that. However, do we then take a medication and insist everyone consume it in their water supply? And I think that that's very questionable. I said this when it was brought to the attention of City Council. I'm an advocate for vitamin C. However, I don't believe a government entity should put vitamin C in my water and then not be able to monitor how much I'm intaking. So for me at my house, I make coffee with the water. I make tea with the water. I pretty much use it, you know, we brush our teeth with the water, we shower with the water, all those kinds of things. So how do you dose regulate how much fluoride I'm intaking compared to someone who only drinks bottled drinks, for example? There's really no control. And to me, that's not good science to do it in such a manner. So I don't think it's the way we do things. I think we should have it out of the water. I think it's interesting that if it's not in, if we don't place it in the water, then it's regulated as a toxin. We place it in the water and it's considered a health need. So I just think that that should remain between you and your doctor. And if you look at a tube of toothpaste, you're not supposed to swallow it because you're not supposed to swallow fluoride. So why in the world then are we putting it in the water? That's my question. And, you know, if I want to take fluoride, then let me take it. If not, I should be able to not have it imposed on me, a medication imposed on me.
And I know that, I guess this has been brought up in front of ECUA about it's been in the water here for a while, and maybe it's time to revisit that as a community. And
around 2000, yeah. I think it was.
Wow. Yeah. 25 years. That's a good long time. And
it is a long time, and you
go ahead.
You can't filter it out. I just want to go ahead and say that. I mean, a regular water filtration system will not filter it out, so that's not really an option for those who are looking to eliminate it.
Right. And for those of you who don't know Jennifer, she is a professor at Pensacola State in her day job, and a topic recently has been some of the new appointees to the Board of Trustees at the University of West Florida. Some probably more controversial than others. I think, you know, namely that you've got Scott Yenner from Boise State in Idaho, and then being subsequently elected the chair of the Board of Trustees, and some of the things that he has said in the past about, you know, women having an education and maybe their role in society and some of his views on that. And certainly want to give you the opportunity to comment on that. I'm going to get traffic on the fives real quick. It always sneaks up on me, so I apologize, but we'll do that real quick and jump into
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Only backup I'm seeing is on Navy Boulevard, backed up to Gulf Beach Highway, going into the front gate of NAS. Traffic is moving, but is very slow to get in that front gate. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. We got City Councilwoman Jennifer Brayer, District 1, City of Pensacola. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the new appointees for the UWF Board of Trustees, Jennifer.
So that's an extremely hot topic, especially among us educators. So, I mean, first and foremost, I am a graduate of UWF in a STEM profession, exactly what he doesn't think that women have any business doing, really, is what his past comments have implied. And so for me, that's extremely troubling. I mean, I would hope that the best person in the topic does it so that we, you know, we forward the most intelligence, not by eliminating people by, you know, race or gender or anything like that. So the fact that we're making sweeping statements that women have no business in STEM majors, I can't even stomach. And then there's the other, just obvious. This is our beautiful local university. It's a hometown university, and it's really always had people that had ties to our hometown overseeing it. And he has none. You know, he doesn't teach in the state of Florida. He's not a professor in the state of Florida. He's, you know, in another state. I mean, where is the alliance to this Northwest Florida that we, you know, cherish? And you also are dealing with a school that has just not been troublesome on any of the fronts that they're concerned with and has met every matrix they've put before them, even though it's really difficult for them to meet it. So you've got a great performing local university. Why would we shake it up like this? And why would we put in people that are so divisive? I'm baffled, I really have to say.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I just saw as well, and he hasn't had his hearing before, hasn't been confirmed by this Florida State Senate, but he still gets to serve on the Board of Trustees until that vote happens, and he's still, as a member of that board, gets to vote, as well as the other members that have just been put on there. But I did see that State Senator Randy Fine, a Republican, is questioning this appointment. And so I think there's going to be a robust conversation in his hearing whenever, and I don't know when that is, but whenever that is, you know, would imagine he's going to be asked pretty hard about these questions. And I think, you know, I've heard that Senator Gates has gotten a lot of emails and been contacted by a lot of individuals here in Northwest Florida about this appointment. And I believe that Senator Gates is actually the chairman of that committee that will lead the nomination hearing or, approval hearing for Scott Yenner. So it'll be interesting to watch how that kind of unfolds and maybe where that lands on the appointment or not. I mean, there's still that possibility if the appointment is denied in a vote by the Senate. But until then, he's still a member of the board and can vote currently.
And I think it's really important for people to realize that there is still opportunity to be heard here and that we should make sure that our voice is heard.
Yes.
And our intention for our school is realized.
Yeah. And I have a friend of mine that, and I won't say their name, but that had Scott Yenner as a professor their senior year of college at Boise State, and said that he was certainly extremely radical, very nice individual, wasn't, you know, malicious or anything by their standards, but that they had to write papers or assignments in a way that maybe they didn't believe in to get a grade in the class that they, you know, to try and get the best grade in the class.
Interesting.
And so, I thought that was interesting as well. So, you know, we'll kind of follow this and see what happens.
Yes. Well, I think we have to stand strong, and everyone should contact Senator Gates if that's what we need to do. I think I sent my email in this morning.
That is really
very serious.
You know, people always wonder what they can do to affect outcomes one way or the other of, you know, in politics, and that, you know, at this point in the process, that is the best avenue, is to reach out to State Senator Gates' office and let your thoughts be known one way or the other, however you may feel. So I want to thank you for... go ahead.
I was just going to say that as a person who represents people, that is exactly what we're supposed to do, is listen and represent.
So, well, thank you for coming on this morning, and hope you have a good rest of your week. And I'm sure I will catch you in downtown Pensacola soon enough.
All right. Thanks a lot. You have a good day.
You too. We are getting close here. We're going to come back out of the break here for the last half hour of the show. And I talked to Tim Reichon about Foiling Week, which is coming to downtown Pensacola at the end of the month. Some of it will overlap with Mardi Gras, but we are going to have what I think could end up being an excellent event that continually comes to downtown Pensacola each and every year. And this is going to be the first one. So we'll hear more about that here after the break.
News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump meets this morning with Jordan's King Abdullah, who's rejected a plan for the U.S. to take over the Gaza Strip next to Israel. The president says a ceasefire there should be canceled unless all hostages are released by Saturday.
Hamas said it would delay the next hostage release, accusing Israel of violating the terms of the ceasefire agreement by targeting Palestinians in Gaza and delaying the entry of medicines and supplies. In turn, Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz says Hamas is the one violating the ceasefire terms by postponing the release of the hostages.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth reverses a 2023 Army base name change.
I direct the Army to change the name of Fort Liberty, North Carolina, to Fort Bragg.
But now honoring World War II hero Roland Bragg, not Confederate General Braxton Bragg, as it had been since 1918. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, it's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3, 70 degrees, cloudy right now in Pensacola. An update on that situation in Atmore last night. Police say 46-year-old Francis Blunt was taken into custody. The woman that was being held hostage was ultimately released. Police say she was not seriously injured, but was treated at the scene. Atmore Police PIO Daryl McMahon says officers were called to a home last night on Brown Street.
Officers responded to a domestic violence incident. When officers showed up, the suspect came out on the porch, fired off approximately 9 or 10 rounds. He ran back in the house after the officer dove for cover. From that point, he barricaded himself in the house. He has his girlfriend in there is basically a hostage.
Now, hostage negotiators were able to convince Blunt to release that woman about 9 p.m., but he remained barricaded in that home for several hours. Blunt did end up surrendering after a SWAT team used tear gas in the home. He now faces several charges, including attempted murder, first-degree kidnapping, possession of a firearm by a prohibited person, and third-degree domestic violence harassment. He was taken to the Escambia, Alabama jail. Charges temporarily on hold for a man that was arrested after a hit-and-run crash on Highway 29 in northern Escambia County earlier this month. FHP says 35-year-old Dexter Smith was speeding when he rear-ended a vehicle on 29. The crash injured a family of five that was inside that truck. Smith had been charged with felony hit-and-run, misdemeanor battery, and driving with a revoked license. An Escambia County judge, though, has ruled there was no probable cause for that arrest. FHP does say they plan to issue a new and more detailed report, and they anticipate that those charges will end up moving forward. The family involved in that crash is reportedly still dealing with injuries. Smith is expected to be back in court towards the end of February. Well, a Florida contractor says he's not happy about federal immigration officials raiding his job site and arresting an employee. Schaefer Construction owner Jeb Schaefer, he called that raid a surreal experience when talking to local reporters in Broward County. He said federal agents showed up at the work site, and Schaefer says they were rough with other employees. He tells 7 News that his employees are like family to him, and he feels for those that are affected. Senator Rick Scott, part of an effort to protect veterans' gun rights. Scott said yesterday he's now joined a dozen of his colleagues to introduce the Veterans Second Amendment Protection Act. That bill would ensure that veterans don't lose their right to buy or own a gun if they receive help in managing their VA benefits. Scott said he's proud to stand with veterans to ensure equal protection of their rights. And he says they fought to protect the nation. They deserve to be treated fairly with the same due process under the law. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Jerry's Drive-In, home of the original bacon cheeseburger for 86 years. Open Monday through Saturday in East Pensacola Heights. That's Jerry's Drive-In. No accidents to let you know about right now. It looks like I-10, I-110 are actually flowing very smoothly, not seeing any delays on those. Highway 90 coming from Pace into Pensacola is looking good. Even Avalon, if you're headed southbound to I-10, is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will see a chance of some rain as you go through the day today. 50% chance overall, high near 71 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. On Wednesday, 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms as you go into the evening and overnight. High on Wednesday near 74 degrees. Overnight Wednesday, temperatures dropping near 63. Going into Thursday, showers and thunderstorms will continue through the early morning with a high near 72. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we do have 70 degrees in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton. Our next news at 9 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. And your money now this morning. Markets are down at the opening bell. The Dow is down 82.69 at 44.387.72. S&P down 12 points at 6,054.50. NASDAQ down 42.76 at 19,671.51. 10-year bond rate up a bit at 4.533%. Gold prices down 10.10 at 29.24.30. Silver prices down 43 cents at 32.05. And crypto mostly down. Bitcoin down 390 at 97,013. Ethereum's down 2186. Ethereum's down 2062. I'm sorry, at 2658.17. Solana's down 224. No change in Dogecoin. That's at 26 cents right now. XRP though is up 3 cents at 246 this morning. Elon Musk making a $92 billion bid for controlling interest in OpenAI, the startup that he originally helped found. The ChatGPT company's CEO, Sam Altman, dismissed the offer with a post on X offering to, quote, buy Twitter for $9.74 billion instead. OpenAI is currently in the process of transitioning to for-profit status, something Musk opposed. Fed Chair Jerome Powell heads to the Hill today to begin 2 days of testimony before Congress. He'll be focusing on the state of the economy. His appearance comes as Elon Musk, the head of Doge, appears to be backing the idea of former Congressman Ron Paul replacing Powell as the Federal Reserve Chair. Valentine's Day is almost here. It falls on this coming Friday.
Those who partake in the day mainly shop for their significant others and family, but Americans will also be treating friends, pets, and colleagues. A survey by the National Retail Federation found that 32% of U.S. shoppers are buying something for their friends. This Valentine's Day, Americans are expected to spend over $27 billion, equaling an average of $188 per person. That's an increase of more than $1 billion from last year, according to the Trade Association. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Tammy. I'm David Wayne, and this has been Your Money Now.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair? And seems to be working awfully slow? Ah! After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill. It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
Start your year in a new Subaru from Anderson Subaru. 2024 Crosstrek model starting at $25,262. 2024 Forester Wilderness model starting at $36,222. And 2025 Outback model start at $28,868. Love is out there. Find it at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Did you give it up? 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 Heard a lot of talk about the ocean. Heard a lot of talk about.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is News Radio 92.3. I am Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay. Andrew is out this week. He is on his way to Barbados to convince Rihanna to release a new album before he retires. He has not stopped talking about Rihanna since she came out with Umbrella back in 2008. But anyway, so he'll be back Monday, and we'll see how his adventure went. But now we have got on the phone Tim Rayshon with Pensacola Foiling Week. And yeah, I was saying before we went to the break for the half hour is this event has got, you know, hundreds, if not, you know, over 1,000 people coming in to Pensacola from all over the country, some international competitors, and here to tell us all about it. And the guy that's making it happen is Tim Rayshon. And Tim, thanks for calling in this morning.
Thank you, Walker. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure can.
Fantastic. Well, let me give you the rundown on this thing. This is a really big sailboat race, actually 14 classes racing, wrapped up in a Pensacola-style public festival, coated in a thick layer of Mardi Gras. Let's break it down. At the core is the racing. Now, not just foiling sailboats, but also foiling boards. The boards launch at Pensacola Yacht Club and race on two courses in the Pensacola Bay with coaching and boat trials from Monday to Wednesday, and then racing on the bay from Thursday through Sunday. Now, the boards need a beach start, and as you know, we've got a beach, so that's where they are headquartered. They'll be racing on courses in the Gulf and on Santa Rosa Sound, with the board racing starting on Monday and wrapping up all the way through the week on Sunday, March 2nd. Okay, that's the racing. Now, the festival stuff, the stuff everybody loves, and Pensacola loves festivals. We have one every weekend. We know watching these boats fly across the water at 30-plus miles an hour is going to be eye-catching and super thrilling, but we have more than spectating in store. We've got a race village at Community Maritime Park that fires up on Saturday, March 1st for a two-day run, offering shopping at the transplanted, yes, you know it, Palafox Market with food trucks, beverage garden, music, live commentary with pump and wake foiling expositions in the marina, athlete prize givings, and immersion in our sustainability plan in the sustainability circle. On Thursday, the Foiling Film Festival is screening curated selections from around the world at Phineas Fogg's at Seville Square. And on Saturday, you'll be a big toss away from the fun of Pensacola Mardi Gras. Our sailors will be in the Mardi Gras Friday lighted parade with a foiling boat on a float. And we've got special VIP group excursions on the city ferries with commentary, food and drink on the bay in the middle of the racing action. Now, you mentioned Valentine's Day. Wouldn't that make a nice Valentine's Day gift for your special one to pick up a VIP excursion on the ferries in the middle of the race course? Keep that in mind. On the beach, all the board disciplines, which are wing, kite, pump, wake, surf, and downwind, they're all headquartered at the Hilton. Public spectators can watch from the Hilton Beach on the Gulf side, and on the Sound side, from Redfish, Bluefish, Flounders, NOLA, and Lagunas, which will all have front row seats for the action. Companies that make foiling board gear will exhibit on Quiet Water Beach, and the public trials of the gear will happen right there as well. There is a social function every night, and we are bookended by Mardi Gras activities coming and going. 150 boats, perhaps 80 boards, international sailors, Olympic sailors, American Magic sailors, and leading coaches from around the world. If it's not the biggest multi-class foiling race and festival in North America, it will be by its second year in 2026.
We can't wait, Tim. We're going to get traffic on the fives real quick, and we're going to do a couple commercials, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about where can we watch Foiling Week in Pensacola. We'll be right back.
With traffic on the fives, let's see here. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. Seeing some minor delays if you're going southbound on Highway 29 right at the Burgess Road light. But other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
At Pennair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pennair Credit Union, because at Pennair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pennair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pennair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Pensacola, this is News Radio 92.3. I am Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay. And in all reality, Andrew is not in this week because it got leaked to the office, his Spotify rap. And Andrew is the number one fan in the state of Florida of Nickelback. So, and he's just too embarrassed to show his face this week at work. He'll be back Monday and we can't wait. But anyways, we have on the phone with us Tim Rashawn talking about Foiling Week here in Pensacola. And we did have somebody text in, Tim, asking, you know, they've heard about Foiling Week, they know it's coming up, but where do they go watch the events happen? And I know they're going to be kind of in a few different places around town, but you know, where are some of those key places that folks can catch some sailing action?
Absolutely. In the city, it's going to be Community Maritime Park. We are going to set one of the marks of the two courses close to the wall. So you can stand at the wall or set your lawn chair up there in Community Maritime Park with your umbrella, because it's going to be gorgeous sunny weather, of course, with a good breeze. And those sailboats are going to come flying up there, flying literally, because they are on hydrofoils out of the water doing 30-plus knots in a cluster of 30 to 40, depending on the size of the class, rounding the mark and flying away. And that's going to happen every time they make a lap, and they go very, very fast around the course. So Community Maritime Park is going to be a winning spot from Thursday to Sunday. Of course, Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be really interesting because we've got the whole race village spun up. So there'll be a lot more to do in addition to watching the boats. At the beach, you can start watching the action starting on Monday because we've got wing foil in both X15, IQ foil. We've got open kite, open wing. We've got pump, downwind, wake foil. We've got surf foil in the Gulf. We've got all of this stuff happening at the beach starting on Monday. So you go out to the beach and you will not be able to look at the sound without seeing the boards racing. And when you go to the Gulf on Saturday and Sunday, you will see the Foil Surf Race League in the surf racing a block course. And it's kind of like a triathlon. They swim out with their board. They foil down the lineup. They come back in, they jump off the board, they run up the sand to the finish, and it's really a gut buster. So you've got a lot of different opportunities there for places to go and things to see, but that's just the daytime stuff. The social schedule that we put together for the sailors is going to be super fun for the public to mix in with as well. We're doing all these things in public places, so if you want to hang out with sailors and kind of get the vibe, you'll be able to engage in that as well.
Great. And then again, you know, what are the dates? It's more than just 1 week, right, Tim?
No, it really is 1 week.
It is. Okay.
Sailing happens in 1 week. Yep. But we start on the 24th and we wrap it up on March 2nd. So it's the Monday through Sunday.
Right. And again, like you said, you're going to have that race village going on. It's March the 1st and March the 2nd down at Maritime Park. And so if people are coming down to go to the Mardi Gras parade on March 1st, that, you know, the parade starts at 2:00, but they can come down as early as the, you know, Maritime Park opens. And what, I forget what time of day that is. Yep. On Saturday, but talk a little bit about what's going to be going on there.
Yep, we are opening the gates there at 10 a.m., and we will have a place for the merrymakers to come over and hang out at the Maritime Park before they get loaded up on their floats. As you know, that procession starts a little early every day. And so we've got things for them to do over there. They can come and, again, visit the Palafox Market. Palafox Market, it's squeezed off of Palafox Street during that weekend because of the Palafox Parade. And so we've invited them to come over and join us at the Race Village. We have room for about 100, and we're getting more and more signups from the Palafox Market merchants on a daily basis. We get more than that, we'll try to squeeze them in. We've got room for other kinds of exhibitors, and that is growing daily. Folks saying, well, I want to have a 10x10 booth out there, and I want to be with that crowd. We've got the sustainability, the Green Team Committee that put together the sustainability plan. They are all there with representatives from each of their entities to educate the public about the Ocean Conservancy, oyster habitat restoration, and plastics reduction. We have, of course, some regular fun things like a beverage garden, food trucks, and live music. And it's just going to be well worth walking through there and spending the time before you have to go over to the parade. And when you're done with the parade, you can come back as well.
That's right. Yeah. And we're happy that y'all reached out and asked, you know, for the Palafox Market vendors to come down and participate in this. And really kind of, you know, your whole goal was to give these folks that are in from out of town, that are staying at Pensacola Beach or in downtown Pensacola for a week doing, all the sailing to give them a glimpse of what Pensacola is and what it looks like. And obviously Palafox Market has become such a staple in downtown Pensacola over the past 18 years. And that's the only Saturday that we do not have the market is Mardi Gras because of the parade. And so this gives our vendors an opportunity to go out and sell products and make some revenue on that day they typically don't work. So we're going to real quick get traffic on the fives and then we'll wrap up.
All right, no accidents to let you know about still. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even Highway 98 looks good if you're coming from Pace into Pensacola. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So, Tim, I know we've got, you know, a lot of sailing taking place from Maritime Park to the beach. We got a lot of social events, and we tried to cover this as much as we could and as quickly as we could with the time we had. But if somebody missed, where these things are taking place, what days, when the social events are taking place, is there a website, is there a Facebook page or something they need to go purchase tickets for, or at least can see a schedule of the day by day and where all the events are taking place so they can maybe prep to schedule to come down to some of these things?
There is, but the good news is there is no ticket to purchase because it is free. That is the best festival package you can get your hands on, and you can go to foilingweek.com to get linked up with the schedule and find out about the events. It's a festival, it's free, it's Pensacola style. It is all smashed up into Mardi Gras on the front and the back end, and Palafox Market is right in the middle of it on Saturday and Sunday. That is a party you can't miss.
That is very true. Well, I am certainly looking forward to it, and we'll make plans to try and catch some of the action downtown and out at Pensacola Beach for Foiling Week coming up here. And shortly, I think 12 or 13 days away. So thanks for calling in. Thanks for what you've done to put this together. And it's going to be a huge success, and I can't wait to see it all unfold.
Thanks, Walker. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much. So, again, that was Tim Rashawn with Foiling Week, and that's coming up here, I believe he said, the 24th through March the 2nd. And you can go to Foiling Week Pensacola. .net. I know that Visit Pensacola has all the information up on their website, and so you can check out their website to get all the info too, so you don't miss any of the action that's going to be going on. Well, just want to, John, thank you today for getting me through another one of these. Maybe
no
third
problem.
Time's the charm. Who knows? We'll see. But again, thanks for the opportunity, and just want to again run through downtown Pensacola where. We've got a lot of things coming up. Again, Valentine's Day, if you haven't made reservation, fellas, it might be a good time to do that. Or ladies, too, take charge. Lead the way. I like it. We're going to want to do what you want to do anyway, so it doesn't really matter. We've got Mardi Gras is on Sunday downtown, so if you want to, dress your dog up and put him in the costume contest, you can do that on Sunday downtown at Jefferson and Garden Street in front of Perfect Plain. And then we've got Mardi Gras coming up at the end of the month, Foiling Week coming up. We talked to Ray Palmer about the Sun Belt Basketball Conference and how you can get tickets to that from March the 4th through March the 10th. They're at the Pensacola Sports website. And again, that is all, I think it's 14 or 16 teams in the Sun Belt Basketball Conference now, and both men's and women's teams are coming down to participate in that. Again, this is the fourth or fifth year, maybe sixth year, that they've had the conference here at the Bay Center. And it is, high quality basketball, college basketball. And again, whoever wins that tournament does end up going on into the big NCAA tournament that we'll all be watching in March as we try and crown national champion. I'm hoping for my Auburn Tigers to maybe make quite a run, hopefully, fingers crossed, into the tournament as they sit atop the leaderboard right now, but we shall see. And then as we continue on, we've got some, we'll be getting ready for Cinco de Mayo and then going into Memorial Day. So downtown's going to be busy. And then again, every Saturday, like we've said a few times on the air today, we've got the Palafox Market down at MLK Plaza and Plaza Ferdinand from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And again, that's 200 vendors each and every week with local products, local artists, local produce. And we rotate those vendors out so that you get some new things to come down and check out. And it's something you certainly don't want to miss. We've been down there for now 18 years. We're now in two locations. We have a trolley that runs back and forth between both parks on Saturday. So we hope to see you down there. And thanks again. Hope everybody has a good rest of the week. And Andrew will be back on Monday from all his adventures.